Pardon me? Okay. All right, are you ready? Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Yes, we're ready. Ready, John?
Are you ready?
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the South County Sanitation District Board meeting. This, what is the date? November 16th, excuse me. Can I get a roll call vote?
Sure. Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Okay, let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. I'm not used to facilitating this meeting. I keep wanting to say it's something else. Okay. Does anybody have any modifications or additions or distractions from the agenda?
No.
I'd like to remove the closed session item.
What? Remove it?
Yes.
It's on the agenda. How can you remove it?
I'm pulling the closed session item.
I'll look to legal counsel.
Good evening. So it's my understanding the chair would like to table the closed session item?
Correct.
All right. This was a matter that was placed on by the Director Lucy, not by staff. If there's disagreement on there, then I suggest that you do it by motion, second, and then take a roll call vote.
Okay. So would anybody like to make a motion to remove the closed session item or table it? I need someone to make a motion.
I move that we remove it to another date.
Why do you want it removed?
Well, I think that the
I'm asking her. She made the motion. Why do you want it removed?
Because Mrs. Lucy asked for it.
So just because she asked for it, you're going to do it?
Since we are all alternates here, I think it's in the best interest of the association.
Okay.
Now I
understand your logic. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I have a motion. Do I have a second on that? Second. Okay, let's do a roll call vote.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Brown?
No.
Director Lucy?
Yes. Okay.
Motion carries.
All right. So, so do we still need an adoption of the agenda? Or would that motion encompass the adoption of it?
If there are no other changes to the agenda, then you can accept it as amended.
Okay. Great. Okay. So now I'll call public comment for items that are not on the agenda.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. It's been a while. You guys missed a meeting this month. So nice to see you all. I wanted to suggest that your board agendize the Cambria project. The staff at Cambria has come to your staff and are considering using your brine disposal system for their brine for their project. I have an email from their general manager to your administrator, and Mr. Gruber from Cambria suggests that their environmental impact report thoroughly analyzes using your facility for their disposal. And I did not see a detailed analysis of use of your facility. I saw much more associated with Kettleman City, Santa Cruz, other places, not South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And the reason for my concern is that you have your own project coming in the next year, year and a half, and this would be, the Cambria estimation is between 8 and 10 trucks a day, 5,000 gallons apiece, coming into what is a neighborhood of the island. I've heard in the past that brine trucks are disruptive already before we get to 8 to 10 trucks a day in addition to what the current traffic is there. And then if you do build your redundancy project, you have the cumulative impacts of that project, construction. Clearly there'll be deliveries and contractors, etc., compounded with this additional brine disposal. The other side of brine disposal is that Pismo Beach and South County Sanitation District are looking at recycling in the future. You have a certain amount that you can, of brine that you can dispose. As you treat your two facilities' water to a higher level, you yourselves will be disposing something saltier, something that's different than what you do now, and there'll be more volume. What I hate to see you do is sort of clip your Achilles heel by allowing or entering into a contract that takes away your ability to process your own and let your own disposal take priority. So again, I ask that you agendize the Cambria proposal before any contract is entered into.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else who'd like to speak on the agenda or items that aren't on the agenda tonight? Okay, hearing none, I'll close public comment and go on to the consent agenda, right? Yeah. Approval of the minutes for October 5th and the 19th. Did everybody get a chance to read those?
I read them, but since I was not here, I wouldn't be able to approve them.
Actually, if I could talk to council, there's no preclusion from us approving minutes where we weren't there, correct?
That's correct, as long as you have reviewed the videos and are familiar with the recording of the proceeding.
All I did was read what is provided in the packet. I did not view videos and recordings.
I think it's okay, Barbara.
Okay.
Okay. And the warrants are also in the consent agenda.
I do have a problem about the warrants.
Okay.
Which, I have no dollar amounts in my packet.
Oh, that kind of is problematic. Okay.
Oh, was that cut off?
Yes.
Thank you. Let's do this. Let's take the warrants and move them down the agenda and come back and approve them. Would that be all right?
Yes.
Okay. So that'll give Barbara a chance to look those over. So I'd entertain a motion for 5A, 5B, but let's do public comment first. Do we have public comment on the consent items? Ms. Tacker?
I'm speaking to the minutes, and the warrants will come later.
Correct.
As I understand it. Okay. And I'm not moving quickly enough here. One thing that I wanted to look forward to was the follow-up to the much ado about nothing censure meeting. There was direction to staff to refute any past misinformation that was coming out of the district, and I'd like to know what format that's going to be in. I know Mr. Clemens has tried to get some information out, but I don't see a newsletter. I don't see the newsletter that Mr. Huebner brought on the new website, and I don't see anything that's follow-up to that meeting, and I was looking for it, maybe attached to the minutes.
Is there anybody else who'd like to speak on consent items? Okay, hearing none, I'll close public comment at this time. Entertain a motion for...
I have a question before we do a motion.
Yes, Mr. Brown.
So, Julia raises a point that I raised at the last meeting I was at. What is going on with the idea of putting out, because that was what was agreed on in terms of getting information out there that was actually correct.
Well, I guess my understanding is that that direction had not been provided to us specifically.
It was clearly there. It was publicly said. It's in the video. You can watch the video. It's all there.
Well,
So do you want to table the minutes, or what do you want to do, Mr. Brown?
If it has to do with that issue, absolutely. If it's not related to that issue, I'm fine. But if it's related to that issue, I want to table it.
So just, I have talked with the chair about that particular issue, and he feels satisfied at least with the response that we were supposed to provide in terms of that
item. Okay, well, I just want to go on the record with legal counsel that I object to the fact that that has not been actually provided to the public. And they're deserving of that answer. And if you go, you talk about seeing the video and looking at the, I was here, I know it was said. It's not up to the chair to determine whether what was requested was provided. That's a board issue, not a chair issue. So I want to just put on the record for the minute's sake for next meeting that I object to the characterization that that issue has been resolved, because it has not.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion now to either accept the minutes for October 5th and 19th or table them again, however you want to do it.
I'd move to table them.
Second, I guess.
Okay. All right. So let's do a roll call vote on that one, too. So much for smooth.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
No. Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Okay. 2 minutes are tabled. Okay. We'll go on to the administrator and plant superintendent's report.
Thank you, Chair Lucy. As you know, we have a written report in front of you. I'll be going through these briefly, giving you highlights. Typically, I follow the italicized items. So let's just jump first to the Cherry Avenue Sewer Bridge project. We did get some feedback from both regulatory agencies where we had submitted permit applications. We responded with supplemental information. One of the letters to Fish and Game is attached as attachment one to this report. I want to share that before we wrote this letter, we interfaced with the staff at Department of Fish and Wildlife. This is what they requested in terms of moving forward with a revised project description. So with that, we hope to hear from them within the 30-day timeline that's allocated for the permit application.
Can I ask?
Yes.
Do you see that as raising any expense in terms of what they're asking for?
It's more of a clarification in terms of the kind of containment system that we would have to do over the creek in terms of, I won't say that it can't, but it may. We're hoping to ultimately, when we come to the board for project approval, that we may not be doing the entire sewer bridge project. We may be doing spot repairs, which might result in a less of a containment system, which would save some cost.
Thank you for that.
Okay. In terms of the grit removal system, our project, that's moving along really well. In fact, I'll have a picture of it later in subsequent presentation. We hope to have some startup work with the project within the next 2 weeks. Our mechanical bar screen project is also proceeding. We issued a notice to proceed to the contractor on November 2nd. With the start date of November 8th, we did have a kickoff meeting with staff and the contractor's representative, as well as our engineer, and that happened on November 4th. In terms of our redundancy project, I've included our response to the Coastal Commission. We did a fairly quick turnaround on their letter that they submitted to us. We feel that the issues are starting to narrow. And so you can see in terms of the questions that they asked and our responses, and then additional supplemental information, which consisted of updated project plans and drawings, which were completed by our design engineer, Kennedy Jenks. Our satellite recovery facility grant is also moving forward. We're now looking to do a tentative workshop in front of your board in at our late December meeting, assuming that everything else goes well. In terms of our regional efforts, page 3, we had a water resource advisory committee meeting. Well, the county did, and they asked me, invited me to speak. Director Lucy was in attendance. So this was on a off-stream groundwater research project that was funded by IRWM funds in Ventura County, very successful project, and there was a lot of interest, I think, in perhaps pursuing something similar in Slo County. Water reuse, the Central Coast chapter, they had a meeting yesterday, presentation on direct potable reuse from Division, from State Board, the Division of Drinking Water. Kurt Souza gave that presentation. There's also a tour of the Pure Water facility in Monterey. If any of the directors are interested in going, let me know, and I'll get a spot for you on that tour. And then lastly, just moving down on our outreach, we continue to make progress working with the member agencies on how to best distribute our newsletter, a draft flyer for the Oceana community highlighting our redundancy project is also in draft form, and we hope to get that out to some of the local residents to describe some of the impacts when that project is ready to go to construction someday. And with that, I'll turn it over to our superintendent for his report.
Good evening, Chair Lucy and board. I'll start with our numbers as usual. The numbers recorded are through November 10th. Just a quick look at the numbers reflect that the plant's running well still. We're not in violation of any of our permit restrictions. We're in a mode right now where we're just kind of running through smoothly, operating as it should. It's what we expected the plant to happen most of the time. In terms of operation and maintenance, we had some, I won't cover everything, a lot of it's just troubleshooting, maintenance, things that come up at the plant. But a thing of interest, we installed a closed circuit TV system at the gate so that we could, it kind of serves a dual purpose. We'll be able to see vehicles as they approach the gate, and they, when they ring in, we'll be able to see exactly who's coming into the plant. And it also will help monitor that area for us 24 hours a day. There's a running DVR that records 24 hours a day in that area for us. So it's also an extra, well, its purpose is security measure, but it's a dual purpose security measure. We inspected the district property with the encountered homeless encampments. We notified the sheriff's station. Deputy Miller was very helpful in going out directly and addressing the individuals in the encampment and instructing them to move. Because we posted signs, that gives law enforcement every right to have who's ever there to move almost immediately, as opposed to not having it posted and then they have to go through a bunch of things. So. Deputy Miller came out and spoke to some of the occupants at the camps, and then Deputy Guyton, when he came out, he was able to, I think he's the designated homeless, dealing with the homeless issue. And so when he got back on duty, he came and made contact and went out there too. It's an up and down struggle. The gate was, the bridge was removed from that gully. So we're hoping that that'll deter a lot of the indigent camps, because what they do is they go in there and they take a lot of stuff. When I went out there to inspect, There was actually a structure that was built with 2x4s, and it was an A-frame, and it was actual, and it was covered with tarp. And so by removing the bridge, the hope is that even if they go over there, they can't begin to build structures and develop neighborhoods within the property. And so we'll keep the district posted on that. As we get them moved out, then staff can go in and safely remove whatever debris is left behind. We're not going to instruct our staff to go in there until the camps are vacated. We also conducted fog inspections in Oceano, as has been our regular process for the last couple of years. We had to set traps for rodents at the administration trailer. They had gotten in and, well, actually they weren't rodents, they were raccoons. I don't know if raccoons are rodents or not, but they seem pretty big for rodents. I don't know enough about them. Our operators went in and we noticed that something had gotten in underneath and ripped up the material and pulled out the insulation that's placed under there to keep the place warm. And so we went and purchased traps and set traps out. And on the first, on the second night, we were able to catch one of the raccoons, pretty big one. And we took them. We called wildlife folks and we called the county folks. Nobody wanted to do anything with it. And so we took the animal and released him out by Los Barros. And then we set another trap, and another juvenile-sized one was captured the next night. And we went tried to release him in the same place, trying to reunite the family, if you will. So we released him in the same place, released the other one. When we came in, when the second was trapped, there's a third one, at least. And that one ran off, and we haven't seen any signs. In the time since then, we've had the folks that we rented the trailer from come in and repair that damage underneath. I looked underneath it today. There's no further damage. I think that I'm told raccoons are pretty smart, so they figured out that that's not the way, not the place to be. Long term, we're going to contact people who deal with wild animals and develop a animal and control and a pest management animal control plan for the plant, because it's not the first time we've ever seen raccoons at the plant. But they do provide, obviously, a safety risk for staff, and we need to deal with that and have a plan in place. Having our staff handle wild animals is probably not the best approach. I'm pretty sure our insurers probably wouldn't appreciate that. So we're going forward. We're going to try to have someone set in place and have an organization and a plan set in place for when we see these animals, we can deal with them, or have someone deal with them that's trained. I found out in the search, and I'll be finished here real quickly, that they, as I checked with the pest control places, that even for someone to deal with these animals, to trap them, they have to have a license from the state, I believe. And so we have to, it's been a little bit tricky finding folks who are licensed and equipped to trap these animals, but we're going to, and hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll tie down a management plan and let them assist us in making a plan and develop a safe practice for dealing with this. Okay, in addition to that, we had a couple of pumps changed out. With regard to training, staff attended a training session on confined safety. We attended a training session entitled Process Safety, Protecting Employees. Staff also attended a planning meeting with MKN for the concrete sludge bed project, replacing a concrete sludge bed in the lagoon so that we can collect the debris or the cake from the centrifuge on that side of the building and not have it interfere with our regular sludge beds. The footpath, as I mentioned earlier, the footpath bridge was removed from the location of security and court streets. It is now stored at the plant. It was brought back to the plant because the Sand District actually built a bridge. So it's district property. And before we dispose of it, we need to talk to the board if we choose to dispose of it.
John, I just have a quick question. Before they pulled the bridge out, were you able to get back there and clean any of the debris up? Or are you going to have to go through the levee now?
What we'll probably do is what we did before. We'll probably cut a gate at the plant and go through that way. Remember last time we went through the gate and we pulled everything out and then we just kind of stitched up the gate.
Okay.
So we'll approach it from the gate side. We won't be able to get to it from the street side anymore.
No. Yeah. So. Okay. Thank you.
And then finally, staff met with Public Works regarding our leased sledge beds. We meet with them pretty much annually to go over the terms of our sledge bed lease with them. With that, I'm done. If the board has any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
I do.
Yes, sir.
Can I go, Mary?
Yes.
Thank you. Is the trailer currently being occupied?
No, sir.
Is it permitted?
Perhaps I can answer that. So we've put in an application for coastal development permit application to coastal staff. They've indicated that we can occupy it.
We can or cannot?
We can. While the permit is application is pending, we can. However, we do not have yet power. We have power, but we do not have internet and phone, and we are waiting for those services to be provided to them.
And how much have we spent so far on all that, the trailer and getting it up to speed?
Well, we incur monthly rental fee for the lease. Well, I don't have the figures in front of me, but
roughly what is it?
Roughly, it's $400 a month.
And that's for how long was the lease for?
The lease is for 1 year.
And how long before you think you're going to be able to get in the trailer?
We hope that next week. The phone company has indicated that they're going to come and do construction.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the board? This time I'll open it up for public comment. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And Mr. Brown, your questions are good. The thing that's important to note is that the permit is only good for 1 year from when the trailer was installed, not from when they get their permit. So that would be August. So the district's going to continue to invest in something that only lasts till August. I think you should cut your losses and get that trailer off the property. It's the justification that the application to the coastal development permit for it talks about the urinal, which is fixed, talks about the HVAC, which is fixed, talks about chairs and desks being ergonomically incorrect. That has nothing to do with the trailer. Mr. Huebner suggests that the trailer may be used in records retention and filing. You could simply hire a firm to come in with their own trailer, get the job done, and then get the heck out. There's no permanent need for the trailer. That was never brought to your board for approval. With regard to raccoons and letting your highly skilled operators handle wildlife, that's absurd, and it's really dangerous, and it's stupid. I'm glad to hear that you're not going to do that again and that you're going to consult an expert. With regard to the redundancy project, my comments were more about the trailer. There is a note here about the cogen, and Mr. Huebner, a few months ago, you brought the old cogen payoff to the board. I think it's important that you explain that, in essence, the check was returned and that you can't pay off the old cogen. I think that would be interesting to your board members. Oh, what I was going to say about redundancy is that next month marks the 1 year anniversary that you hired Mr. Rickenbach to handle your environmental portion of your permit application for the redundancy project. And to date, that permit, that application, has not yet been accepted for processing. So I don't know if you recall, but he was going to have you in front of the Coastal Commission by June, last June. I thought you were going to cut him loose and go a different direction in your environmental consultant, and I don't know what happened there.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Does anybody else like to comment this time? Okay, hearing none, I'll close public comment. Mr. Huebner, will you follow up with Mr. Rickenbach and see where we are and what he plans on performing, and maybe
a more
sensitive timeline,
sure.
You know, one that's, you know, real.
Sure. We're in contact with him. He's performing under his contract the way he's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he had help in drafting portions of the letter, or at least reviewing the latest submittal. You'll see in my district report in terms of how we're engaging Coastal Commission staff. The timeline, to a certain degree, is out of our control.
Correct.
And I'll disagree, they've accepted the application. The application right now is incomplete, and we hope to get a completeness determination very soon, in which case then it will go on to the next available Coastal Commission agenda when they draft up the permit, and we will see the draft condition. So the timeline is we hope to hear from them within the next 30 days. We'll hopefully get a completeness determination. If not, there will be some additional data that they may require, but we hope it'll be small. And then we'll take the next step with being on their agenda and attending it. So we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
A lot of these things are out of control. Mr. Rickenbach is performing as he should under the contract. He's
good.
Part of the team that we have.
Great. All right. And keep the staff away from the raccoons at night. They're nocturnal animals. Okay. And I applaud you for getting somebody who wants to take those out of there. I do know others who do that, so if you need any help or referrals, let me know. Okay. Number 7.
This is a receive and file. Do we need a motion for receive and file?
Not necessary.
Okay.
Okay.
Just want to make sure. All right. Are we ready to move on to?
Number 7.
Okay. So this item is our fiscal year report, first quarter budget report, performance review, and budget adjustment per resolution, proposed Resolution 2016-361. I have a relatively detailed staff report with some attachments. I have not prepared a PowerPoint for this particular item. I think the item stands before you and is self-explanatory, but I'd like to walk through just a few key benchmarks. So through the first quarter, under the executive summary, we have the district expended 18% of its budgeted expenditures at 25% benchmark. So we're at the first quarter, 25% benchmark, 18% expended overall. So you have a revenues table which describes our three funds, which are Fund 19, Fund 20, and Fund 26, and their totals. You have a table that describes the various expenses within the various funds as well as the totals. So, for example, Fund 19, we've expended 15% at a 25% benchmark. Fund 20, 28%. Fund 26, 5%. You average all those over the total amount, you have 18%. Want to just bring to your attention, when we started the fiscal year or when we did our adopted budget, of course we have to do an estimate on what we think was going to be in for example, Fund 19, fund balance or the beginning balance. So we estimated it would be $1,190,000 and slightly off by $191,882. So we've now put that as the reconciled amount for the budget. So you see under Table 3 the various beginning fund balances, again, for Fund 19, Fund 20, Fund 26. If you move further down, we have an analysis where we looked at the various accounts where there was significantly less amounts in various accounts, and we've tried to put a narrative to each one of those accounts. So, for example, you know, we have a student intern count 196035, 8%. We had a student working for us for a couple weeks. We don't anticipate one at least for a significant period of time. And so at this point, we're recommending some money be moved, $7,000, as part of our reconciliation and included as part of the resolution to take $7,000 and move it under our workman's compensation account. You move further on, and I won't go through all of these, but just taking number two into account, we did do our annual prepayment to CalPERS. And so you see a large amount, 95%. Well, we've paid that amount off, and that's why that percentage is that high. This was something that was discussed at the July 20th board meeting. Just moving on, you can see we're recommending, we've provided some information about our office. And let me correct that. It shouldn't say office supplies. This is account 197015. It's really... it's computer equipment, GIS, and that's it should be a clarification in terms of hardware. It's really computer. We have a separate account that accounts for office supplies. Further moving down, again, LAFCO, those are one-time payments that we make. That's why that's a high percentage. Our audit, we did move money from contingency to cover that amount for the fiscal audit contract that we executed. Fiscal services, again, we had some one time. We've had a report specifically on our post-employment benefit evaluation and our 15-16 audit. Cogen, you heard reference earlier. We did try to make prepayment on that. They did return half the amount. I did engage when I finally got a hold of the individual. And I'll just say, trying to find someone to talk to at a bank about a loan that you have is not an easy thing, and to get a straight answer is also difficult. They challenge the premise of a prepayment. We do have the ability to pay off the loan, but they were not going to allow a partial prepayment, and that was the reason that they returned it.
So it's all or nothing?
All or nothing. So I would probably make a recommendation next fiscal year to make that payoff, in which case we will then get that discount. You see under SCADA capital equipment, we're recommending moving money over there to support the additional supporting software to allow that project to be complete, or at least be further completed. We've listed here two change orders under the grit removal project. We brought those to you before and discussed. This is just immortalizing it in the staff report. And similarly, on the last page, just to show that we did purchase an automated valve to support the grit removal project. And at that point in time, we essentially did some swaps in some projects that we had on our replacement maintenance program. At this point in time, we won't move forward, but we may decide to move forward later in the year if perhaps money or one of the bigger projects comes significantly under budget, or for example, the sewer bridge project. We bid it and we get some savings. We would then come back and perhaps do those other projects again. So, in conclusion, our expenditures remain well below the adopted fiscal year 16-17 budgeted amounts. We have recommended today that you consider and adopt Resolution 2016-365 with Exhibit A. That's Attachment 1. We've also provided you with a consolidated budget with the proposed adjustments. That's Attachment 2, to indicate the changes that would occur if you were to adopt the resolution. So if you adopt the resolution, that consolidated budget would then immortalize those changes. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Barbara? We have, I think, a typographical error on the consolidated budget.
Okay.
Expenditures and other uses, the amounts in both columns are the same, but the totals are different by $45,000.
Oh, just 45.
Yeah. That's the total operating expenditures.
Total operating expenditures, and you're saying that the okay, we have that.
All okay. Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown, do you have anything to offer?
I do. Just a couple of quick questions of clarification, because I don't do this budget stuff with you guys very often. Is it typical to have funds numbered and not described by what they do? Is it typical finance practice to call something fund number X, Y, or Z?
So there's there's a variety of ways. One, of course, we have our QuickBooks and they give you sort of standard descriptors and project numbers, and those historically we've used. To the degree that we have additional descriptors that may not even be shown in this consolidated budget, we have those. And what I've also set up with the staff is additional project numbers that we can track for individual maintenance projects, so that when we get invoices that we can specifically go into a file or an electronic file and have that. So we're trying to refine, even within a specific project, more specificity.
And so is there a public document that if a member of the public wanted to see it, they would understand where the money's going? Because when I look at this, I just see a bunch of numbers in terms of fund number X, Y, and Z. You know what they are.
Sure.
But I don't know what half these fund numbers are.
Spelled out in the annual budget.
We tried to do that in our annual budget development and adoption. Certainly, I'm open to any further specificity on any specific ones. It's just sort of a balancing of how many numbers and how much information you as a policy-making board want.
Right. No, I understand. And then the only other question is, these greater than budget amounts, the only reason you really listed them, because you keep on most of them, you say there's no budget adjustment. So all you're really doing is calling out that they're spent in the first quarter versus an actual change in the budget.
Correct. So somebody sees that and go, oh, Gerhardt, wow, it's 90%. Wow, you know, what are you doing? And again, to be transparent, we did a one-time budget in the first quarter. Okay. You'll see and Madam Chair, I want to make sure we get back to the warrant register. But in a subsequent quarter, we're paying off the penalty. And so that count will look very large in terms of an expenditure because you paid off $1 million.
Right, right.
So.
No, I get it. Thank you for that. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Huebner, we have the warrants as 7D.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Sorry.
I didn't want to forget.
No, we didn't forget. Okay, so I'll entertain, at this time I'll open it up for public comment. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I would have to say that I think for ease, your analysis, the one through 13, if you gave the amount of what was budgeted, then you show the year-to-date and then where we're at today versus this 95% of the fund has been, or the budget for that item has been spent. What does that mean unless you have the document from the budget adopted last June? What does that mean? So I think for clarity and consistency, you would see what was budgeted and your year-to-date and what's left to spend. I have some concern with item 11, where it says this SCADA, and 154%. I think the one sentence that does kind of clarify it is that this account reflects all services provided from Auto Systems, Inc., not only SCADA. Then why is it in there? Why wouldn't you break that out into some other explanation? This way, when you look at this, it looks heavy on SCADA, but you have to dig down and read the details. I think that's unfair to SCADA, and that we're almost done with SCADA, and we want to see that that gets funded so that the project's complete. So I guess I don't like how that is lumped together. Mr. Huebner says there's another account for office supplies and equipment, and that maybe number 4, 197015 is not office equipment, and that's computer equipment. So where is office equipment? And the reason I ask is I've seen invoices for about $5,000 worth of office equipment for the trailer, and I'm not sure if that goes in the trailer's budget or if that goes into your office equipment budget. And then, you know, I have to ask, since the trailer is a temporary structure, when the trailer leaves, where does all this property go? Because your operation building already has furniture in it.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Do we have any more questions from the public? Hearing none, I'll close it to public comment. I do have one question on the SCADA. Is that your project?
Yes, I've been
editing it. Okay, yeah. But, so the software and the training is continuous ongoing. Is that correct to say?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Okay. Thank you.
And just maybe clarification, Dad. That account is unique for SCADA, so it encompasses whatever was expense to SCADA, whether it was Auto Systems or not. So we had 10,000, maybe 15,000, I don't know exactly. So it doesn't take much to make it 154,000. So that's just a clarification on that.
Right, and I just wanted to make sure that those things were, I assumed, but I didn't want to assume in this crowd. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I had all the expenses attached, which would have been training and software update. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion for resolution 361.
I'd move a resolution of the Board of San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District amending 2016-17 budget at first quarter, including amendment to attachment A as previously described by the board member.
Second.
Okay. Do we need a roll call vote on this since it's monetary issues? Okay.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes. It passes 3-0. Thank you. Website.
Very good. So I have some very positive news to share with you today.
Don't get too excited.
You know what? We do. We have to celebrate a few things occasionally. I know some folks' websites may not be that exciting, but I'm excited about our website. We do have our website developer here to give us a short demo. You have the staff report in front of you. In terms of how we got there and how we started, I did solicit a number of vendors. We found a local one for I think a very good price. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but website development can be a costly endeavor. And the other thing that I learned is it's not only the development of it, but the maintenance of it. So I think we got a pretty good, I wouldn't say deal, but we definitely got a good product that we hope to highlight for you today. It's definitely more user-friendly. I don't know if anybody has a chance to navigate it or look at it. We do have our, it went up, I guess it was Thursday or Friday, so it's just been a few days. But with that, I'll stop talking. I'll invite Ted Kapner. And Ted, let's see if
How do you drive this thing?
It looks kind of cool.
How can we?
I can help you out with the cursor.
Okay. Is it running off of this computer here?
Yeah. Okay, great. So I'm just going to stand up and talk. Can you please be on a microphone?
Sure. You want to sit here, Ted, or you want to be at that? You have this microphone?
How about I sit here?
Very good.
So good evening. My name is Ted Kapner, and my company is Everywhere Right Now, and we're local here in Arroyo Grande, and we do website development. So this is a website that we developed for the sanitation district, and it did launch on Friday. And it's quite different from the old website. I'm just going to run through a few finer points and then point out some of the features of the website. First of all, I want to talk about the security of this new website. We've built it on a secure platform. It's also on a secure server. We've, through adding some additional features to the website and the framework of the website, we've hardened it to mitigate attacks. Attacks are out there. They happen all the time. And nobody is impervious to it. If somebody wants to hack your website, they will, just like breaking into your car. If they want it bad enough, they'll get it. But what we've done is we've rolled up all the windows and locked all the doors, proverbially, to try to push away people who would otherwise want to do malicious things to this website. We've also put some other things in place, like taking a daily backup point of the website. That's done every morning around 4 a.m., both the website files and the database and all of the data. So if something were to happen catastrophically, let's say somebody put something really malicious on the website and crashed the whole thing, we could just roll it back to yesterday's backup point or last week's backup point. We keep 30 days, so we could restore the website very quickly in the event of some sort of either equipment failure or malicious attack. The website also, unlike the previous site, this website is what we call responsive. It will respond to a full-size monitor. It will respond to what we are seeing on this projection screen, which is actually rather small size comparatively, if I were to get technical. But you can see that the main navigation line, where it says agendas, about us, newsletters, wastewater treatment, environmental programs, and rates, that actually encompasses two lines. If this were on a little bit higher resolution monitor or on a larger screen, that would just be on one line. And as the size of the screen decreases, that line will eventually disappear and you will be presented with a mobile menu. And that would be for people who are accessing the website on a smartphone. So the website will respond to the size of a giant screen that you see some users use, like a cinema-type monitor. It will respond down to the size of a regular desktop screen, a laptop, a tablet, and all of the smartphone sizes. So it's accessible to everyone. As I scroll, and I'm going to play around here, see if I can get this to work a little bit for me. There we go. Great. Super. So we have anywhere on the site, anytime, if you click on the logo, it will take you back to the home page. And I do have a cursor. So you can see that the logo fades back, and you click on that, it takes you to the home page. We put right here in a very prominent location, contact us, which takes you obviously to the contact page, report an emergency, which if I click on that real quick, there we go. And that fast takes you to the report an emergency page. And we have a host of numbers preceded by, of course, call 911 first. I'm going to go back to the home page here. Great. And scroll down a little bit. This is an interactive photo, an overlay that shows the sanitation district. As you mouse over these little pointers, it just explains a little bit about what are some of these things you're looking at. This was done just to kind of give the public an idea of what's there and how it is located relative to the Oceano Airport. And we can add to that as the website develops and progresses, and if there are changes that we feel are important to make, we can make those changes. Scrolling down, we have our main calls to action, which gives the users quick access to the ordinances, resolution, and regulatory documents pages, the approved board meeting minutes, which is a brand new section that we just added, and also the agendas and board packets section. Then we have a little bit of a description. Of course, we have a sign up for district news opportunity here for users to sign up. We're losing a little bit because of the way these projectors project, but when you look at this on, it has to do with the contrast. When you look at this on a monitor that has a little bit better contrast, you can see. And even the Google map, and this is coming directly from Google, is the contrast is causing it to appear a little bit faintly on this monitor. Go back up. And then I just want to talk, without going page by page, if you mouse over agendas, you can see that we have sections for important documents that are contained on this particular site. I'm going to go right now to the ordinances and regulatory documents section. And this is just an example page that shows an archive of all of the documents. We went back to 2010 and posted about 300 documents in archive. That's all the documents that we had record of that was on not only brought over from the previous website, but also brought over from some archives that were at the sanitation district. And we've archived them here so that any member of the public can access, print out those PDFs and read them at any time. The last little thing I wanted to mention about this new website, which is going to be real nice moving forward for the district and for the team that administers this and adds content to it and manages the content, is that this entire website is built on a content management platform. All that means is that instead of having a webmaster, somebody who understands how to read and write code, go in and make the changes, anybody from the office who has been given administrative rights, a username and password access, and we use a two-factor authentication. So it's not just username and password. There's a second factor that authenticates users into the site. They will go in, and it's more or less like editing a page using Microsoft Word. It's very simple and easy to edit. They can edit it in real time. As soon as an agenda is approved, it can be posted within minutes to this website for the public to access. And we can also set access levels. So if we have somebody who's only posting agendas or approved agendas, we can give them access only to that area of the site as opposed to access to all areas of the site, and we can control it in that manner. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Looks great.
Great. Thank you.
I'm impressed.
All right. I'm also glad we used a local company.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it very much.
Yeah, so do we. So thank you very much. All right. We'll take public comment on this item, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again, and yes, it does look good. I don't know about celebrating. It's nice. It's nice to see it updated. But I was looking for the newsletter that Mr. Huebner brought to the board a few months ago. It's not on the old website or this one. And then a lot of the information was just brought over without editing, and there's some stale stuff. And I'm just not sure who's going to go through that. It really should be someone who has a long history or a longer history with the district so that they can take out what's there. And I would hate to pay the consultant to do that when our staff is the one who knows the things that the district does today versus what they used to do. Like I said, some of that information's gone stale.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Mr. Hall. Ron Holter, Royal Grandy. I agree, it's a good-looking website. I do have one little question. Is this site on a server that is totally separate from the server, from any of the plant computer controls?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be my one concern, is because like you talk about attacks, if it can get into one, you wouldn't want them getting from there into the plant control. But thank you very much. It's a good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Anybody else have any comments? Hearing none, close public comment at this time. Do you need an action on this, or?
No. This is, again, sort of a receive and file. We wanted to bring this, since it was a significant effort, considering the past website and our legacy, actually, of the Wallace era. So.
Anyway. Great. Thank you. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Great job.
And that's a great pea coat you have.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Gerhart.
Okay.
Oh, wait one second. Oh, yeah. One more item and then go ahead. I just don't want to forget the warrants.
Well, if you don't mind, I sit most of the time, so the chance to stand up and present to you, I will take that opportunity. So, Gerhard Huebner, this is also, I think, a positive item that we're presenting to you today. This is item 7C, and a little bit of overview, a reminder, perhaps, of the final settlement and the order ending the litigation from the Sanitation District's 2010 spill. So, background, back in July, not too long ago, but it seemed a little bit distant past, agreed to a settlement with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And this was for the 2010 spill, which resulted in a liability of $1,109,812.80. So that's a correction that you'll need to see from the staff report. There's the number. This is the correct number. So that was issued to the district back then after the ACL hearing. So specific elements of the settlement included a cash payment to the State of California cleanup and abatement account in the amount of $554,906.40. And that payment has been made. I personally took care of that this week. We got an expedited check from the county. They were very helpful and sent up to Sacramento. And the reason that I'm stating that is there's a deadline under the stipulated final settlement that we needed to have something done by X date, and I wanted to make sure there was no penalties or interest or anything that would cross it up. So that's why I personally handled it. Settlement also includes three supplemental environmental projects, or really it's actually two supplemental environmental projects and one enhanced compliance project of $540,000, or essentially half the amount of the penalty. That's coming back to the local community for three projects. And these projects are a mix of regional, local, and district specific with benefits to the ratepayers of the district. And I'm going to describe a bit of that. So a portion of it goes to a program that is administered by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. CCAMP is essentially their surface water program. Well, they've created a groundwater program that's similar, where they go out and sample and try to assess the ambient groundwater quality in the basins in the Central Coast region. And of course, San Luis Obispo County is part of that, their region and their jurisdiction. So a portion of that will provide scientific information for the staff, local agencies, water purveyors, and the public, again, in the idea to protect the quality of the waters for Central California. The funds will be sent to, in this particular one, to the Bay Foundation of Morro Bay. That's a group or a nonprofit that the Central Coast Regional Board had used in the past for settlement funds and to administer various programs on their behalf. The next project is groundwater modeling for the Santa Maria groundwater basin. So this slightly evolved over from the settlement to the final order, and it was going to include the Napomo Mesa area. That's been refined. This will be worked on through the North City Management area in that group, which includes Aurora Grande, Pismo Beach, Oceano, Grover Beach. Working on the model is a critical step towards improved groundwater resources and management. Among some of the benefits are to look at future water supply operations and to mitigate seawater intrusion. This information is also for a future work towards a future regional water recycling project that could involve groundwater injection or groundwater recharge. And for some reason, I did have a nice slide, and that's not coming up there, but it would have shown you how this modeling effort, and for some of you that may have participated in the stakeholder group meeting on the regional groundwater sustainability project, but there's a slide that was put out, and it talks about how this modeling effort will work towards getting recycled water. There's additional money that the county is looking to bring forth in the modeling effort that will also look at sort of bringing the Napomo Mesa, looking at overall groundwater health, looking at SGMA compliance. So they both dovetail together, and there's a nice integrated slide. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, it's not coming up. Just to share with you that this is the area that folks are looking at. So I want to emphasize this is where the focus will be with the SEP money and the money that the city of Pismo Beach has brought to the table. So it's a collaborative joint effort to develop this model. Ultimately, the model is looking to be expanded to the entire basin. So understanding what's happening up in the Napomo area and how it affects the North City area, and then any reclamation project for the basin, how they interact, how the water can be beneficially used for the water purveyors in the area. So this just gives you a little perspective spatially.
I have a question on this.
Yeah.
Are those the dunes right there?
Yes.
Okay, so the proposal is to put a test well out there?
Well, that is part of the overall. I understand that there is proposals to do test wells, but that won't necessarily be part of this modeling effort. The modeling effort is to look at the physical,
right,
conceptual basin, the geology, the hydrogeology, and then produce a numerical model that can do simulations and scenarios that would support future water supply projects.
Right. So I know that the plan was to increase the test wells and along with the characterization of the basin. So these funds will be strictly used on the characterization?
This will be used for the model and any characterization,
okay,
that will assist development of the model.
Okay.
That will have to be funded separately through those eight entities.
That's what I needed to know. Thank
oh,
you.
Never mind. So forget what I said earlier. Here's the graphic that I wanted to show you. So really, what we're talking about here is here is our SEP money, or the money that came out of the ACL that will support this, money from Pismo Beach. This is sort of the timeline, and you're looking at this is a regional groundwater sustainability project, characterization, model boundaries, model characterization. So this is this effort. This is the effort that's coming with money from the county zone 3 pot and maybe some additional monies that they may be providing. It'll come later. It will dovetail on this effort. Zone 3 reserves, flood control district. There you go. This funding is labeled there. And that will come in the latter part of 2017. So this is the general idea of how we get to a groundwater model that supports a variety of uses. Okay, now let's get to a district project. This was a project we actually put forth a couple projects. This is the one that we agreed with the regional board. This is our grit removal project. So, of course, we've described it to you in our approval to move forward. It's going to remove fine grits, protect downstream equipment, infrastructure, and prevent abrasive wear, sedimentation, and damage. We'll accomplish 95% grit removal and classification and so forth. So the beauty of us being allowed to include this, if you want to step back, is the board was going to move forward. They funded it. So essentially, you could look at this as a $200,000 discount on the overall ACL amount. 1.2, we're allowed to utilize $200,000. That's money now that you, the board, the ratepayers have available, perhaps to do something else. And this is a slide of the grit removal system as we speak. I took it this evening, and it's, John, I don't know if the electrical's been hooked up. I think that was next, but they're ready to test it and run it, and at some point we'll have you all out there to take a look at it. So, in conclusion, the litigation officially ended with the stipulated dismissal by parties approved by the judge on October 20th. Approval allows the district to move forward and put our time and energy into new initiatives, put it into future wastewater infrastructure, using our wastewater for benefits uses of future reclamation options, and just lastly, just kind of reemphasize this point, the settlement provides multiple benefits to the ratepayers of the district, including approximately half of the penalty money to South Slope County residents that might not otherwise have gone to Sacramento. So, with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I conclude my presentation.
Barbara, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Quite clear. Thank you.
Okay.
I do. So the question I have is regarding the funding for the groundwater model.
Yes.
Is this in conjunction with other funding? Is the funding all there now, or is there still another piece that needs to be done?
My understanding is there's sufficient money now with the PISMO and ours and the county to do a comprehensive model. Now, I'll put one caveat with that is with modeling and geologists, there's never enough data and there's always more cross sections and it's never complete. And so these modeling efforts can be very expensive and open-ended. So part of my participation with the group is one, I want them to be successful because if they're not successful, the money that they would get, they're gonna be on the hook. So let me be clear. Sanitation District, we write the check, we're done. However, we want them to be successful because we'll benefit with their successful development of a model. And so I've reminded them, keep it bounded, make sure you have good goals and objectives with your model development.
Okay. Okay. I'll take public comment on this item.
Julie Tacker again, and my question too is related to the modeling and Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano are what makes up the sanitation district, and your contribution is the $221,000. The flood control district and zone 3 are all of you, including PISMO and the county. My question is, how much is PISMO pitching in that they have more money than all of you? And so I don't know that amount. And I just want to point out that Grover Beach and Oceano are both disadvantaged communities, so their money needs to go the farthest. Those people work the hardest and have to pay the same amount as everybody else. So that's why I had trepidation over this, in that I didn't know that it would be equitable. And that's what I want to know, is how much is PISMO contributing?
Okay. You can take that back to NCMA, right? And find
Certainly.
Out what their contribution is.
And
yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any more public comment on this topic? Hearing none, I'll close it this time. I'm going to bring back the warrants. You can, if you're saving agendas, it would be 7D. Barbara needed a little time to look at them. I'm sure Mr. Brown had his moment to look at them. So, is there any public comment on the warrants, Ms. Tacker?
Okay. The expense associated with repairing the trailer, I see $493 for fixing the bottom of the trailer. Farm supply, you bought traps for $172. It seems to me that you should have hired an expert and he would have brought his own traps. But that's just the trailer stuff. My biggest heartburn is all related to your legal bills. Mr. Trujillo, $8,785. Ms. Stockton, $3,430. Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, $4,884. $44, excuse me. The Gilbert and Trujillo, the Stockton and Trujillo expenses have to be inflated due to the personnel matters that you were still suffering from, I believe, brought on by your administrator. The Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, some of you alternates maybe don't know, but myself, Mrs. Price, Carol Henson, were all called by an investigator from this legal firm. And the bill keeps running, and we don't know that the investigation has been closed, so the expense continues. I'd like to have an update on that, and I'd like to not see any more bills from that firm.
All right. At this time, by hearing nothing from the public, I'll close it for public comment. Anybody else want to speak? No? Okay. I'll entertain a motion for the warrants. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. Mr. Brown, do you have any questions?
I do. The legal bills, without going into great detail, is it generally related to personnel issues? The increase, I should say, the larger than normal increase, because it does seem like they're inflated. Is that related to personnel issues?
No. Is it possible for me to even comment on?
Thank you. You can comment on general, very vague general things. You have to keep in mind that anything that deals with personnel, there are privacy rights that all employees have.
I'm not saying what
have.
Personnel issues.
So I'm just cautioning that if he gives information, he has to be very careful on the specificity of the information that he gives out
in
public.
Yeah. So with that caution, in general, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any more questions for the warrant?
Nope.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the warrants.
I move that we adopt the warrants as presented.
Mr. Brown, would you like to second it?
Sure.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes. 230. No closed session. All right. Did we forget anything?
I do not believe so. I think we've covered all the items. Thank you.
Okay, hearing none, it's adjourned.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening, everyone.